Hello, and welcome to Know That, a Real Housewives podcast. I'm Donnie Hatfield-Smith.
I'm Anthony Casella.
I'm Quinta Lamar.
Today we have a very fun guest. I'm very excited to have her. It's Kirstie Moore from Reality TV and Me. Hello.
Hey, guys. Nice to chat to you again. It's been a minute. We've had like one of the most insane shows on my pod a few weeks back. I went home, I told my mom, I'm like, I think I was like in some kind of heat, like psychosis or something.
That was a fever dream. I have nothing to compare it to, but it was insanity.
We hope to do it to you again.
Hey, well, look, today I've got my hashtag Team Gina t-shirt on. So it's another free t-shirt, not great quality. Let's see if I sweat through this one.
We can only hope.
OC Gina?
Oh, no, this is in relation to a Melbourne housewife, Gina.
Oh, I love her, the lawyer.
Yes. Yeah, I actually met her. I met her and Lydiot a few years ago for like a Christmas event that was at Lydia's house. And I was like actually so starstruck. I barely spoke to them, sadly, but I did get this free shirt, so worth it.
Ooh, that's incredible. I'm jealous.
I wasn't on that podcast, so this is my first time meeting you. So nice to meet you and welcome to the show.
Thank you. Yes, we I missed you last time. You'll have to come back on some point.
Definitely.
We had to ease her into it. She didn't know if she could handle three guests at once.
Mm-hmm.
But now we lubed her up, so
I don't know if I was quite lubed enough for two guests. Like, that was a lot, and this, you know, has taken a turn. It's taken a dark turn early on. Okay,
very early on.
I figured we get it out of the way now, so then anything else is free game. So tell us about your podcast.
So my pod is called Reality TV and Me, and I started off covering Housewives when I started about a year and a half, 2 years ago. I don't know what time is anymore because of the lockdown. And most recently I did Married at First Sight, Oz, and US, and I got to interview a lot of the Australian cast from the show, which was awesome. So that's all on the pod in like the backlog. And this week I talked to Micah Plath from Welcome to Plathville, which is, if you're not watching, kind of an insane look into this family that don't call themselves a cult, but they're very much like an Aryan kind of super religious family that nine kids sheltered away from society. It's
blonde. A lot.
Super blonde.
Yeah, super like, blonde.
How was the interview? I'm so jealous.
I got to tell you, I was a bit nervous. Usually, I don't know why. I'm pretty chill, but I think because I'm just so recently invested in the show and they're different kind of people that I don't like. I'm, you know, you've met me. We just talked about lube 5 minutes in. You can't really do that with like a super religious 18-year-old kid that's just wandered out of a cult and now is stepping out into the real world. So you can't. I was like, oh, I don't want to be too out there, but
you were doing,
I think it went well. What was that?
You were doing journalism at that point.
Yeah, hashtag journalism.
Oh, that is so cool. If you ever get Olivia on the show, I just want to sit in the Zoom call silently and listen.
I would love to talk to her or Mariah, but mostly Olivia because, she's the wife of Ethan, one of the older brothers, and they treat her like the parents treat her like she is this badass bitch getting them into blow, like selling their bodies on the street. She's just like, oh, you know, it's okay to have like a beer once in a while.
She's like, very, very mellow.
Yeah. She's like, this is what TikTok is. Like the mom wants to burn her out the stage.
It's a crazy. And I even said to Micah, because they treat him and his sister Mariah, another one that escaped to freedom, like they are just the worst kids in the world. I'm over here like, I went to rehab and my mom's like, looks at me like I've got rainbows shining out of my asshole. So I'm like, I watched a show with a completely different mindset. It just blows my mind.
Yeah, it's wild. We like stumbled across that show and I was like, what is this? It was like Children of the Corn and like Village of the Damned fucked. And
yeah.
then didn't want to let their children leave the town ever to do anything.
No, they don't even have friends. Yeah. It's tough stuff.
What network is it on? TLC.
TLC, okay. Tuesday nights, 10 and 9.
We watch it on Hulu, though, because it's on Hulu.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's how we
I'm unfamiliar, but I might have to catch up.
Oh, it's a wild ride, Anthony. Mm-hmm.
Indoctrinate myself.
As a Black person, it's like an alternate reality to me.
Like,
I don't even think I exist in this world.
I think the mom would just explode if she
I'm like a myth.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and like a gay Black man, she'd be like, what is this? Head explodes. Yeah,
it's crazy. But I get the vibe that she's done her share of stuff, though, like from her backstory. So it's like kind of hypocritical.
I kind of agree, but I look at her and I think maybe she's one of these people that like smoked a little bit of pot once and passed out, like greened out. She's like, oh my, like locks her kids up in solitary confinement to try and protect them from the world. I don't think she was out there like, you know, snorting blow off someone's ass or anything like that. I mean, there is a middle ground. I'm sure there's a middle ground.
So on that note, let's shuffle along.
It's begun.
Tell us about your history with the Housewives. I know you've partied with Melbourne Housewives at Christmas, but which ones have you watched? Were you a fan from the beginning?
Yeah, I was, but it was harder to get in Australia. So we're going back to, well, 2000. So I really got into it when I had my spinal surgery when I was 21 and I'm now 32. So yeah, I'm going back about a decade here. So when I was recovering from surgery, I was like lying in bed. I'm like, what am I going to do for, you know, 6 months while I lie here? And I really got into Celebrity Rehab and loved that. What used to watch like all of those psychopaths just running around, causing shit, fell in love with Dr. Drew. Forced my mom to sit there and watch with me for like 9 hours at a time. Still obsessed with that show. And Real Housewives of OC, which is probably why I still have like a bit of a soft spot for it now. And I've hung on all through the hard times. But I have to say, like, this is a really good season. I know a lot of people don't want to watch it, but there was a couple seasons there where it was a real drag to get through. And it's back now. I'm into it.
It was your gateway drug, so you're loyal. Yeah.
Exactly.
So let us jump into some current events before we talk about the episodes that we're on this week. Karen Huger was on Wendy Williams earlier this week, and she mentioned that Every Hue by Giselle was liquidated, and she also said, this is a direct quote, shame on Robin for age shaming. Robin is a hard 40 and looking every day of it. And then she tells the audience, please buy her hats. She seriously needs the help. So do we think this is
coming
just
hot, Karen?
Yeah. Is this just traditional publicity?
Parts of that sounded extra messy to me.
I would say so.
Messier than necessary, perhaps. Yeah. I don't know how old I thought Robin was. I think Robin's beautiful and looks great. I thought she was older.
40.
Okay.
Wait, you thought she was older than 40?
She looks every day of that.
I thought she was older than 40, but I think she looks great no matter what age.
Yeah.
I do like the shade of Karen announcing that Every Hue is no longer anywhere. That I like.
Well, this aired a few days after the episode that she found out she wasn't going to be on the website and Giselle and Robin were talking about her. So I definitely think she had to get her digs in.
It was pretty harsh that she wasn't allowed on the website and announcing that in front of all the women at dinner. I mean, obviously it's for TV, but I would be really disappointed if I put in a whole day's work or whatever it was, got all made up, took all these photos, and it's just like, you don't even get a text warning you like, hey, just so you know, like make something up, say the lighting wasn't good or something, right. You know. I used to, in another life, shoot music videos, and I did this entire dance scene, and I worked really hard for probably 2 months. I'm not a dancer. But it was like a pole dancing scene and I tried and the director calls me. He's like, I think we're going to have to use a body double and reshoot the entire like,
oh, okay. But
I was just, no, like, honestly, needed to happen. It was not cute. Just like me flailing my body around, thinking like, you know, when you like, you think you look sexy and you just limbs everywhere. It's, yeah, it was a disaster. So thank you to the body double.
I actually can't relate, but I am sorry that happened.
Thank you.
But I agree. I feel like somebody should have told Karen that she wasn't going to show up. I do, because she did work for free.
Yeah.
It was incredibly shady. I don't think her pictures were that bad where they couldn't be used at all. Also, I thought that Robin was like younger. I thought she was like in her 30s. Like if somebody told me that Robin was my age, I would have believed it. So I'm actually surprised that she said that she looks older, because I don't think she looks old or like.
No,
well, I don't think 40 is old anyway, but you know, I mean, I think she's pretty young. Maybe it's because Robin acts so young.
Maybe I think Karen was just trying to get digs in where she could. I don't she thinks that Robin really looks 40. But
yeah, I agree. Yeah. She was just trying to get her own back.
Yeah.
I do believe that Robin needs all the help she can get, though, with that hat line.
Oh, yeah, that is the truth. We've talked about embellished too long. Let's move on. So it was announced earlier this week as well that Leah McSweeney would be a presenter at the Pornhub Awards. Is this a fit that makes sense?
Wait, what?
Yeah, sure was. She's going to present awards.
I mean, I think it fits only because, like, I know that at some point Leah McSweeney has been videoed having sex. But... I think 100%. That in that way, it makes sense. Other than that, no.
It seems odd.
I'm just floored, to be honest.
You heard it here first.
Yeah.
Breaking news. The world's most important headline. Here on Know That. I had not heard that either, aside from perusing her outline before recording. It doesn't seem on brand with either her clothing line or being a Real Housewife. So right. I'm not really sure what, like, there's no shame in it, of course.
Yeah.
You could be a spokesperson presenting a part of anything. I just don't understand what track it's on with her other ventures.
Well, if we're going to talk about her clothing line, which I don't think we ever have, it's not like her clothing line is any... Her clothing line is like what you wear when you clean up after a porn scene. It's not it's not exactly anything special. It's like an old t-shirt that would be lying next to the bed. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't think there is really a direction for her clothing line. I'll leave it at that.
Is there a parental rating for podcasts?
Oh, we are always explicit.
Yeah, you gotta take that explicit.
Because we didn't even get to Potomac yet.
Yeah. Oh, God. I just think it has to be for the show. That's the young. I would assume so. Yeah. Because I think if I was Leah, knowing that my tattoos caused such a commotion last season, what can I do to top that? Oh, I'll present at the Porn Awards.
100%. Speaking of a lerb, I am. I agree. I think she really loves that she's like the young, cool one of the cast, which she is, but it's not hard when, you know, you've got the Sonyas and the Ramonas.
Yeah, when they're like scandalized by tattoos,
mm-hmm.
It's not really difficult.
Exactly.
So since we're talking about porn, let's just talk about strippers while we're here. Tanya stopped filming Real Housewives of Atlanta because of Strippergate. That was also announced this week. I don't really know what we'd have to discuss with that. I just thought people should know.
It's important for people to soak in the knowledge, not necessarily have
move over Biden's cabinet picks. We have Tanya Sam scoop.
I mean, I'm not really a fan of Tanya, so I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. So Anthony's footage cut out. He's gone.
I still got him.
I'm fine with
no,
it.
No, so do I, unfortunately.
I like Tanya. I'm kind of sad to see her go. I think she's fun. I think she brought a energy to Atlanta that they needed, like somebody who wasn't like shooting venom.
Oh my God, I have just realized who you're talking about. Because she's the Canadian one. She's the one I was like, oh, they're talking about one of the new girls. No, it's Tanya that nobody ever remembers because she's so bland. Right, now I'm with you.
Yeah, so she's very, like, unthreatening.
Bland, yeah.
That's her. That's her.
Bland, yeah. Poor Tanya. Yeah.
I just
the event coordinator on trips. Mm-hmm. We have to genuinely be there at 7. The bus is leaving. That's
it. Bravo just needs to change the contracts, I think, because first Denise and now Tanya. If you're gonna get someone to sign up, make sure they're there till the end, please. Mm-hmm. That's all. Moving on. Let's jump over to Utah. This week on Salt Lake City, Lisa gifted Whitney Vita tequila and bartenders for her vow renewal. Whitney said the bartenders got drunk, made a mess, and went through some of Whitney's husband's personal alcohol because they ran out of Vita by 6 p.m. Lisa says, I feel like I'm reading a math problem. Lisa says,
drink 5 bottles of Vita tequila in 2 hours, how many do you have left?
Defendant Lisa.
Dun dun
dun.
So anyway, Whitney complained. Lisa says she gave her enough for 500 people. Is Whitney wrong for bringing this to Lisa?
I'm so torn about this because if I was with Whitney in the fact that, like, if you have bad staff that are stealing your alcohol and getting wasted on the job, you want to know about that so you don't use them again. But at the same token, Lisa did give her a gift, so maybe you should just sit down and shut up and say thank you.
I don't think that's a maybe. I think she should just, like, okay, really? Take one. This was just like, I'll take one for the team. Thanks for helping me out. I mean, what more could she do?
But as a friend, I do understand wanting to tell her, like, your staff sucks.
Yeah.
Well, she also said she wasn't invited. So maybe if she'd been there, counterpoint.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess.
No, go on.
I was going to say that was confusing for me that she did gift her all this tequila and then wasn't invited. Is that a normal thing to do?
I don't know. I feel like even from a, like, brand sponsor point of view, like, even if you don't invite me as your friend, I should still be there to watch over the bartenders and, like, pitch the tequila kind of to, like, people coming up to the bar.
I mean, well, yeah, I feel like that's just like an open thing. Like, if Hennessy is providing the drinks for a party that I'm giving, I think they should have an open invitation and, like, okay, I should let them know, of course, please come to the event. To me, that makes sense, especially since it's a smaller company and she's friends with this woman. There's literally no excuse for her not to have invited her unless she just didn't want her to be there.
Exactly. And it said to me that maybe, like, it basically showed me that they're not really friends in real life. Which annoys me in The Housewives. Like, obviously they're not, they're all cast, but I like when their worlds weave in and we can pretend they have a relationship at least, not just like, well, you provided me free alcohol for this party because it was going to be on TV, you know?
Yeah, it's tough. I think, so first, Whitney needed to get her story straight because upon a rewatch in an interview, she says, Lisa gifted me with the tequila and bartenders and then refers to the bartenders as her. Whitney hiring them. Well, both of those things can't be true. So I feel like she was a little confused about what was story and what was, like, the truth of the situation.
Right.
And a real friend would have told Lisa those things off camera, but then it become as a heads up, as like a sign of good faith, like, hey, just a heads up.
Yeah.
I also have a question. How does Whitney know that the bartenders are the ones who opened the whiskey?
Because, like, they're the help, of course.
Yeah, like, I kind of wanted, like, some footage.
Yeah.
But also, this is early in, I would say early in filming, but I don't think that's true since we have footage from 6 months ago. These are women who are trying to, like, get their camera time and not create conflicts, but make sure their conflicts can lead to camera time. So I feel like Whitney also saw an inroad where she can get one and leapt at it.
That makes sense. How often do they film so far ahead of time? Because they did that on Southern Charm New Orleans, too, where we see footage from like 6 months ago.
So I believe that filming for any Real Housewives usually lasts for 4 months, for 16 weeks. For Salt Lake City in particular, I remember reading that the production company, Bravo, was not happy with the footage that they had from the first production company who had been filming them for months. So they threw out the majority of it and then started again with this group, which might speak to why I don't think it's on the agenda. But we see some housewives who are really kind of throwing anything to the wall to, like, create a conflict. maybe out of some fear that it won't be as interesting because of what they had filmed previously.
You talking about Jen Shah, ain't you?
I am. Jen Shah's working hard, a little too hard. I don't know where she's going to be able to go from where she's going to be able to go with the conflicts when she's like right out of the gate, like trying to make any kind of conflict. It's Lisa Rinna sweaty.
The only thing I can think is that later on it will become genuine, because if I enter this group of women looking for fights with everyone, eventually someone's going to take these like fake fights personally. So then later we will have real fight. And that's what I'm hoping for.
Like, I think I'm hoping for
real conflict.
Yeah.
The stuff with Mary seems genuine. I would not want anyone to say that about, you know, a loved one who was getting their legs amputated of mine regarding hospital. But the stuff with Meredith, you're going to go with Mary and like sobbing. It's like, honey, you know, Mary's on the call sheet to go to dinner with Mary, to go to Mary's church. Like, give Meredith like a pass. You know what I mean? Like, she seems to be. We're smarter than I think Jen thinks we are for watching the show.
Yeah, fair they're enough. Coming in about 15 years late. We've figured out some shit.
So after that Vita Tequila gate, Whitney tells Heather that Lisa called and threatened her to stop coming for her brand, and that if she continued, she would spread rumors that are already circulating that she's a swinger.
A swinger.
Not a swinger.
I'm obsessed with Whitney's voice.
Is Whitney a swinger?
Polygamy runs in her family, but I don't know if she's a swinger.
She says that like it's like blue eyes. That's so funny. To me.
That tin can thing is fascinating. Does that really work?
I Googled it.
It does work.
It does.
Nobody did that as a kid. We did it like in science class as a kid.
Oh, no.
No, we did it because, like, our houses are all too far apart. I'm in the country, sort of. Now I'm in an apartment. I could probably throw one over to my neighbor, but she's about 85, so I'm not sure she'd be into it. But, yeah, I Googled it because I was so intrigued straight away. And it's like, the sound travels down. This is not interesting. But anyway, I've started now. The sound travels down the wave, like the sound wave travels down the string, and that's how it goes. Nothing.
What
to
kind
do-
of string? Do you use yarn?
Yeah, you can use yarn.
I didn't know.
Next week, next week instead of these podcast microphones, me and Quinn are going to be on Tin Can.
Love it.
Does anyone have anything else to say about Whitney?
I just really like it. I'm actually trying to get, because it's so impossible. I don't know if you guys have tried to get interviews with any of the cast of Bravo shows, or you just do your thing. But I try and talk to people from different shows, and Bravo is so strict with allowing you to talk to people, like even just getting a foot in the door. They'll be like, yeah, great, we'll get back to you. And then they just like cut you off forever. Excuse me, I'm still waiting. I'm over here. Hi. But but I tried to, and so my way around it is to try and talk to people's like friends of. I'd like to talk to, genuinely like to talk to Whitney's dad, because we share the same kind of addiction history. I was addicted to painkillers. That was my addiction of choice. And I think like his story would be really interesting. It's fascinating to me that he has chosen to come on the show during recovery, like not even just a year out or anything, like just smack bang right in the middle of his recovery. And I'd love to chat to him a bit more about that. Also, Whitney is like my favorite at the moment.
Yeah, no, I love Whitney. And that was our next topic on the agenda, was to talk about Whitney's father. So,
okay.
Yeah, so thank you. No, I mean, you said everything I was going to say. I'm... So thank you. I really like that they're showing him on the show, and that they're showing this, I don't want to say storyline, but for all other terms, storyline.
Storyline.
Yeah, I found it.
Yeah, I mean, it's his life story.
Right. Oh, that's the word.
Whitney's sweet. I really like her too. This second episode, really, I felt like it was pretty Whitney heavy. Mm-hmm. And I felt like a lot of the like we were coloring inside the lines a little bit with Whitney, whereas in the first episode we just kind of got like an outline of a person.
Yeah.
And it really kind of helped flesh out some things. And I never mind, it's not on this episode. Shit. Episode 3. I'm curious to see. I really liked the scene where they go to Mary's church. Anyway.
Did you I hated that scene so much.
Oh, I loved it. I got excited. I was like, I want to go.
We don't have that kind of enthusiasm for religion here. Mm. Australia is just such a young country that like we have like lots of different churches and mosques and like all different kinds of religions, of course, but we don't really have people like that scream and get excited like that. So for me, I was like, whoa, this is, for me, it kind of was a bit confronting, to be quite honest with you. And then like seeing Whitney's dad cry and everyone like go around him, it's like, is this performative? But you're telling me you felt like it was really genuine.
I enjoyed watching it. And I, okay. I understand. There's a difference. Well, yeah. It's tough. I don't know how much we want to talk about this now, but I'll just say like, when you're in a room, it's hard not to have the feeling, like the feeling that is taking over the room affect you. Like if you walk into a room that's stressful, like you can feel it, you get stressed out. So I understand how someone might, their emotions, certainly if they're in the middle of their recovery journey, would be susceptible, isn't the right word, but tuned into that kind of vibe.
Yeah.
I can get that. Like, I think about it sort of like a concert, you know, Lady Gaga concert. I'm like, you know, you're in it. You feel it with everybody else. You want to sing, you want to dance, you want to like, well, you get that energy.
I think that we'd have to also point out how much influence that the Black African-American church has had on popular music, even like what you're talking about, like that call and response and all of that. That is all an effect of African-Americans in church. A lot of our music and a lot of that is influenced from that. So for them to feel that, like, you know, catching the Holy Ghost and doing all that stuff, that's just what you get when you give African-Americans religion.
Just extra.
That's just how we do it. So I don't know, Anthony, if you've ever been to like a Baptist church or
oh, I have not.
A church like that, but it's pretty standard. Like, she's not Baptist, though. What is she? She's
Presbyterian?
Protestant?
That she? Sounds...
No.
that's Irish.
It's something that I'm not really familiar with.
That's the one. It was a
It's kind of, yeah, it's all Protestantism, but it's like, yeah, it's, that's kind of the vibe when you go to those places. So, yeah.
I liked it.
It's beautiful. I think it's good. I think it's sad that Mormonism seems to be so unforgiving in a lot of ways, because I think that should be the hallmark of any religion, whatever religion you subscribe to. I think that redemption and being forgiven should be very prominent there. And that's not the impression that I'm getting from these Mormons or people who are associated with Mormonism. So I think it's great. I think if he wants to go down that path and be better, I think that a church like that could help him, because it's helped a lot of people in that way. So
it's certainly more especially, I don't know, speaking as an addict, if you go to like a 12-step meeting, they're like kind of push all this God stuff on you, and it's just like, in a way, it's kind of shaming, whereas that kind of energy and making church and being a good person fun is, it would be much more enticing to me anyway. So I can kind of understand why he would be more like interested in Mary's church than, I don't know, some other shit. My 2 cents. Some other shit.
Also, this episode, we had Meredith and her husband at dinner, and he said, who have you told that we're separated? And then he, not begged, but he said he wanted to see her phone and that she could look into his. And she said, I don't need to see yours, and you're not looking at mine. And he thinks that this behavior shows that she doesn't care. So that's a lot to unpack there. I will say, let's just add one more thing to unpack. I don't know if it was editing or just good timing. I laughed out loud every time the waitress came over with the drink.
That was incredible. Okay, we have the American dream. Casamigos. It was great. Twice she did it. Like, all right, you friendly fellows, like backing up and dancing. Like, their marriage is falling apart. Can you give them a second?
I mean, we've all been there, right? When you're doing like the breakup dinner or something, you don't want to, you want to meet in like a public place so that you both can go home to your respective homes rather than like spend 3 hours crying at one of your houses. And so I kind of got it, but the same token, is always those moments where someone's just like, okay, who's having the cocktail? Oh, I want to die.
Her husband was wasted at that dinner too. He was sweaty. His eyes were bloodshot. I liked how it kind of felt like a twist to me. There was something a little like, you know, the end of Kill Bill when he goes, "Sophie, does she know that her daughter is still alive?" Like, that was the same vibe that I got from when he was like, "Who knows that we're separated?" Like, I wasn't ready. I didn't think it was coming yet.
Yeah.
So I was like, whoa, like grabbing onto things.
Yeah, it was a lot for episode two of a season. Actually, it makes a lot more sense having known now that you said they'd filmed basically an entire first season that got scrapped to now have all of this drama coming out with this new cast. So that kind of, because they really are bringing it and they really are bringing the twists and the surprises every episode. So yeah, but that was a lot. I mean, I loved it. I'm excited to see what happens with these two.
It's definitely good TV.
It's good TV. I'm interested to hear from you guys in a relationship because I'm single 5 years. Somebody love me. The phone thing, I don't know. I would, if my partner was like, "I'm not showing you my phone," I'd be like, "Right, cheating on me, obviously." And then I'd be like looking through their phone in the dark of night. But that's frowned upon. So I want to know from you guys in a relationship, is that meant to, like, are you meant to have an open phone policy these days?
I think that in a relationship, you need to have trust. I also think that it's important to have privacy because just because you don't want someone to see your messages doesn't mean that they're bad. Like, you have personal conversations with your friends and family that have nothing to do with your spouse and sometimes are often about your spouse. So I think that's one thing. I'm not going to lie. A woman who refuses to see her husband's phone does give me, I kind of check the fuck out. Mm. But I can understand her, you know, like, I don't need to see that. If she feels that that's not the issue between them, like, if that's not an issue, we have other problems. That's not the problem. But
also, I feel like if he wants to see her phone, and I'm sure they both bring problems to the relationship, but if he so desperately wants to see her phone, I feel like she is the problem in terms of what's going on in the phones. So for like her not wanting to see his phone, I think she has nothing to worry about and she's checked out, or she just knows that he's not seeing other people, whatever. But I think her refusing to show hers is saying something.
I actually thought it was really, I don't know, I kind of felt like that's what he wanted her to feel like. I'm going deep now, but I kind of twisted the other way where I thought he's pushing showing her his phone too much. It's like he's deleted all of the sneaky messages. That's how I felt.
That's possible.
So basically what we're learning is you can't trust anybody.
he's a wealthy middle-aged man who's having marital problems. I guarantee you there's something in that phone that she wouldn't like.
Right.
There's a level of privacy and trust that should exist with someone's phone. I mean, you wouldn't want someone, anyone, whether it's your spouse or partner, to see everything that's in your phone. The same, you know, the same way you wouldn't want maybe like, I don't have any, a sibling to see what's in your phone, because you could be having conversations about that sibling. Right. It's almost like a respect thing. I don't think there should be an open policy with phones.
I agree.
But that doesn't come from like a sneaky place on my end. It comes more from a, there are conversations in there.
It's that like going through someone else's mail. Like, if you just don't do it.
I think even more so, because like phones have become like an extension of us because we use them and there's so much of us in them that showing your phone is like, it's not just showing, like, it's showing a lot about you. And even in marriage, there's some things your spouse just should not know.
Like what?
like how many photos of your dick you take.
I mean, why send those to him? That's not a big deal. But like, it's more so like,
yeah, but he doesn't know how many you take to get the right angle first.
Well, once I finish the photo shoot and get the lighting and everything right, he gets, it's like Top Model, he gets my best shot. 23 pics, but this was the best shot. What do you think?
So also in this episode, Lisa is mad that Heather sent a thumbs up text to her. She said it means fuck you. Heather replies that everybody knows a double thumbs up means fuck you. What means fuck you?
The middle finger?
A thumbs up if you're doing it like to a statement, like how you can in iMessage like thumbs up something somebody said.
Yeah.
That's okay. If you actually put a thumbs up emoji in something, I'm not going to say that it means fuck you, but when I send it, it means I have no stake in this and I don't care.
Now I need to check my text. See,
I'm going to let you know. I'm going to let you know, yes, or I got this message affirmative, but I really don't give a shit. That's what it means when I do it.
My brother had this long conversation with me once. Him and his best friend's a girl, and we all just like had to sit him down and be like, you know, when you send a message that just says okay, full stop, it's extremely aggressive. He's like, what do you mean? I'm just telling you I've seen it and it's okay. I'm like, the full stop. It's like, okay, okay. I'm like, that's rude. How dare you? That's kind of how I feel they were talking about the thumbs up. It's like, if I've literally just seen something and you haven't, there's nothing that could be misconstrued, and it's like, I'm meeting you for a coffee in 15, thumbs up, cool, I'll be there. If it's something like had be a little bit, you know, dodgy, and I send a thumbs up, it's like, you better watch yourself. Yeah. I see you.
I had never heard of the thumbs up fuck you before. In the context of how it was used in the exchange between Heather and Lisa, I understand it to mean fuck you, because I think before that Lisa had said, can't wait to see you later, and Heather sent a thumbs up. So that itself is rude.
Yeah.
But yeah, otherwise I've just never thought of it as that. I use it as like a got it. Like, okay, understood.
Yeah. Wow, you're received. Making a lot of enemies.
Interesting. I kind of feel like the way people respond to receiving a thumbs up or an okay is more about the person on the receiving end.
Oh, okay.
Like if you're like, I'll see you in 10 minutes, and he goes, okay, and there's no malice on his end.
The full stop is malice. Okay, full stop.
You want him to say, okay, see you soon.
No, I would like just okay, smiley face. Okay.
Interesting.
This is the modern world, isn't it? We're just like in so deep with our freaking emojis and text talk. It's hard being an adult.
I think people are so passive aggressive, and we all know that about people, that when it's all written communication, we just are always expecting it to be passive aggressive, I think.
100%.
This is like a Sex and the City storyline. It's like, honey, he gave you the thumbs up. Like, it would be something they'd be unpacking. I couldn't help but wonder.
Okay, hard stop. Next week on Salt Lake City, we get a Brooks confessional, so I need to get a barf bag. Moving on. Potomac. So on Potomac, they are still in Portugal, and they're at dinner, and Robin asks the women if they've ever sent nudes. Candace has not, so she decides that's a good time to whip a titty out at the table and take a photo for her husband. It's here that we find out he refers to her nipples as Hershey kisses. I was unsoothed.
Very unsoothed.
I didn't care for it.
I just no.
this was too much. Oh, like this show in general, and I may have said this with you guys on my pod a couple episodes ago. Too many boobies, too many tits, too many babies, too much breastfeeding, too much what's the one with the little cow out of things that go zhoop, 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 like sucks your milk out. I don't like any of this stuff. I'm all for feminism, but it makes me uncomfortable. Honestly, I don't know. It just is something in me. I'm very resistant to motherhood, and it just makes like everything in my body go, whoa. So when Candace whipped like a towel up in front of her and got her tits out at the dinner table, where again, a waiter is coming over and be like, oh, here's your spaghetti. It was very unsoothing, to use your word, Donnie. I was unsoothed.
Yeah.
I think, well, watching shows, like I was talking to Donnie about this, except for like Potomac and Atlanta, most housewives aren't having children. So like they're like past that point. I think that with Potomac and Atlanta, you get this sweet spot, you could say, of women who are like very sexually liberated and active and also mothers and new mothers and everything. So I think we have like a jumble of all of that.
They're too young for me. I want to skip over that stage and get to the Sonyas. I like my housewives menopausal. That's where I'm
check your periods at the door.
I tend to prefer an older housewife. I like a 50, 60-year-old housewife too, but I'm not opposed to any of the baby stuff. I'm not even opposed to like the nudity. For me, it was coming from Candace, so I was I didn't care for it. And also it seemed like white noise. I wanted us to move along. It didn't feel like it wasn't a moment I wanted to stay in with her, like Hershey kisses and a towel up. I wanted to get to where we were going next.
Don't get me started on the Hershey kisses.
Well, that's what I mean. My problem is the like her announcing to the world that they're into race play.
Like, it's like soft race play. Like it's not like, it was very uncomfortable to me to hear that.
What is race play? It's like fetishizing
yes, color? and we all know the main way white people like to fetishize sex is through food. I don't know why, but that's the first place white people go with it. And for her to say that, I was just like, as a black person in an interracial relationship, I was like, no, don't do this. Don't do this on TV.
Don't do me like that.
Don't turn around and say that Monique is throwing back the race and all this stuff. And here you are being fetishized by your white husband. And
only a couple seasons ago, she was referring to his dark penis.
Yeah, brown dick.
She's disgusting.
Accurate response. Yeah.
Disgusting. What does everybody else think about the Hershey kiss? What do you think, Anthony?
Oh, I mean, about the Hershey kiss specifically, I didn't want to be hearing any of it. I wanted to move on to the next scene. I did not, as far as race play between the two of them, it didn't even like dawn on me that that's what that was. I didn't want to be there in that moment.
Yeah.
I was like, what in the slave play?
Yeah, that is.
It felt like we were seeing too much. And look, we heard some like real revelations from Karen later on, but that felt more comfortable to me than the Hershey's kiss.
Yeah, I agree. Let's just jump right into that. So they went to the Dominatrix party and they played the game where they all answer dirty questions. And like you said, I learned a lot about Karen at this party. She hasn't given oral sex in 2.5 years. She dry humps a vibrating pillow until it's not dry anymore.
I didn't know they have vibrating pillows.
I want one.
Karen's living her American Pie fantasy over there in Potomac. She's full on Jason Biggsing with the cushions.
I loved this scene. This is like the fun. I live for the drama and I love for all of that. But when they have fun, it really brings me joy. And this scene was just so fun for me.
I loved it. This scene was great. It also felt like I couldn't believe, and I maybe haven't seen it since Sex in the City, which I know is a very different kind of show about women, but it kind of felt revolutionary isn't the word, but these women of varying ages being like completely open with their sexuality, with like spanking each other and kind of having fun that way, but then discussing what they liked sexually. Right. I was like, this is wildly great and progressive, and I loved it.
That's Black Ops for you. That's what I was like hearing my mother with her sisters. Like, it's to me, it wasn't really, it was just seeing it on TV was a bit.
wait, hold up. You sit down with your mom and she has these kind of conversations?
I mean, yeah, I've heard my mother. My mother has sisters. She has like two sisters. So I've heard them talk about stuff like that. Not in great detail, but like I've heard them like, you know, call each other slut and all this stuff. Like they
about humping pillows until they're no longer dry?
That's not something that I would have heard as a child. What I'm saying is like I've heard them speak about sexual things in an open format.
The closest I can get to this that I've heard my mother's friends talk about, and I was like 8 years old and it changed me for life. It stuck with me, clearly. The one woman said, I think it was her cousin, hey, she said she would do anything to get pregnant with a girl because all she had was boys. She said, even if I need to be hanging upside down from the ceiling fan, I'll do that. And I was like, oh my God, do old people do that for sex? So
it's so weird thinking about, like, when you're a kid hearing about sex, you're like, ew, anyone past 40, ew, it's disgusting. Basically, like that conversation that Robin and Giselle had, like, I wonder what their sex looks like. Yeah. It looks like fucking sex. They're not like little dudes rubbing together. Like, they're a human being.
Like I've said, I've caught my parents having sex my entire life, as recently as 5 years ago.
Oh my God.
It is what it is.
Wow. It's
traumatic.
While we're at the dominatrix party, before we get into the drama, what are your favorite looks and your, okay, what did you say?
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. Continue.
I have to edit that out. Before we get into the drama, what are our favorite looks and our least favorite looks from the party?
I'll go least and I'll start first. Giselle looked a hot mess. There was so much wrong with that outfit. The color scheme didn't work. The granny panties that she wore, like, she was not planning on anybody seeing that, and it should have stayed that way. This church image that she talked about, she looked tacky as hell. Everybody else,
tacky as hell.
I mean, really, everybody else was passable. I didn't like what Ashley wore either, but I think that Giselle looked foolish. That wasn't sexy, that just looked stupid.
Giselle looked like stuff that you wear to, like, hold it all together underneath something. Like, it didn't look like
unfinished.
It was unfinished.
It was like all foundation garments. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like control top on pantyhose. It was something.
It looked like what Sonia wore to do cabaret-esque in, like, season 6 of New York. Remember when she would do cabaret-esque?
That's all the dress wear at Luann's cabaret show where she's dancing, it just falls off her because it's not really clothing.
Yeah, it's not. And Ashley and Giselle were my least favorite. I feel like they were in, like, the same color story with the red. They had the same thing going on. My favorite, because it was like completely what it should have been for a dominatrix party. Like, I thought Candace looked great.
Yeah.
Catwoman too.
I thought she looked great. I would not say Wendy and Karen were going to a dominatrix party, but they looked great.
Wendy, I loved. Wendy and Candace are my two favorites. Karen,
I liked Wendy and Karen the best. I haven't loved Wendy's fashion this season, so that was nice. It was good to be, on board with her choices. Candace, I felt like, even though she looked the best hands down, I felt kind of embarrassed for her because it's like turning up, it's like Bridget Jones turning up in the little bunny outfit and everyone else just like in ball gowns.
It was like Elle Woods.
No one else bought it, and she was probably expecting everyone to be on her level, but they didn't. And as soon as I walked in, and I realized if that was me, I would take the mask off and just kind of, but she didn't. She earned it the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, good for her to not take it off until you needed to blot those eyes.
It was a disaster, but she stuck through it, like Halle Berry and Catwoman.
I was proud of Wendy at this party because she got in a perfectly delivered, hilarious one-liner when she said, responding to Karen's pillow activity, Wendy says, and she said, "The pillow is no longer dry. Can I get a shot for myself?" I
thought, for myself.
Yes.
That was great. That was a great Wendy moment.
I was like, Wendy, yes.
This whole trip made me really like Wendy.
Me too. This was the first episode I liked her.
Yeah.
In the whole season. I feel like she's starting to sort of know her place in the group and feel comfortable with the friendships. And that moment, when she was like, okay, I'm going to need a shot.
She also didn't mention her accolades. So that's probably
that's true.
The reason why.
Yeah, this has been a steady incline for me with Wendy all season, where I keep working up the mountain, and I'm there, and I like her.
Yeah,
she seems to be having more fun.
I agree,
definitely more relaxed. My favorite part of this whole scene was, I guess you guys probably got the same, unless they edited it for Australia, how they like blanked out the massive dildos with the eggplant emoji.
Yes.
That just distracted me so much and just kept making me giggle. I loved it. I was so proud of the producers at that point. It's like, yes, well done.
On Dallas, did they show the dildo when Brandy was chasing?
They blurred it.
Chocolate. Did they?
They blurred it, I believe. They didn't show like Mr. Chocolate.
I said they blurred it yesterday, but I don't know if that's true.
I can't remember.
There's that fetishization again, Mr. Chocolate.
See? Yeah.
I feel like they might have probably blurred it, but I can't.
I think they did.
Well, the eggplant was certainly a choice. So moving on, we have one more topic. We touched on this a little bit last week, but we're going to talk about it again to dig into it a little bit more. Monique asked Ashley to write a statement against Candace. Do you guys feel like this is attacking Candace's character, or do you think she's just being a good friend?
I think somebody should attack Candace's character. So I hope that's what it was. I think that's what it was. I mean, I think people really don't, or at least we've kind of forgotten how upset all of that made Ashley. Candace was terrible to Ashley about her wanting to have a baby, all in her marriage. Then she attacked her. Like, there's a lot of stuff that Candace has done wrong. Most of the reason why I don't like Candace is because of how she behaved towards Ashley specifically. So I don't think it's wrong for Ashley to be like, well, here's my chance to get back at you. And as I said before, after she demanded a real apology from her, which is, like I said, again, genius. So I'm all on Ashley's side, but I do think she did it with some malice in her little heart.
Yeah, the only thing for me that makes me feel like, who cares that Ashley's doing this, is because it is all televised. Like, if this was our little group of four right here doing this, then I would say like, oh, Quinn, you're wrong for writing that against Anthony, whatever. But this was all televised. If the judge really wanted to find this stuff out, he could have watched these episodes himself. So the fact that someone's just writing it down for him, I don't see a problem with Ashley doing it.
I never thought about it like that. Like, obviously they can just be like, well, here's the footage. And I'm sure they have done that.
Yeah.
I love a judge watching Housewives. Like, can you send me episode 13 of season 4? Thank you.
All I can see is just some experienced like circuit judge just sitting at home like, what is this shit? This is on TV.
I imagine the How to Get Away with Murder, like six interns in the living room all watching it.
Yeah, this was, I mean, I think it's both. It was an attack on Candace's character and helping her friend Monique. And I think that's fine. And this is why, you know, this is a game that Candace is on the wrong side of, but she's on the wrong side of it because of her own behavior. And that's what happens.
Yeah. That's what, when I think it was Wendy asked Ashley and said, do you think that Candace's behavior should get her physically, whatever, beat, physically assaulted? I wish that Ashley would have just said, yes, I do. I do feel that way, because it's clear that she does. But I feel like, and myself included, I feel like violence is such a heavy topic and we know it's wrong and all of that, that people are afraid to say like, she asked for it.
Yeah, I'm so torn about this. And I just keep coming back to the like, when I really break it down, I'm like, they both just have really bad anger issues. Mm-hmm. You know, there's not one person's right and one person's wrong. They both aggravated this and they were both wrong.
Right.
I don't want Monique to go to jail, but I, like, she was very aggressive and I 100% think Ashley did this out of manipulation from Monique. Monique disappeared the footage of the butt squeeze or whatever. And supported her when no one else would. And also that Ashley just does want revenge, you know? Like, it's not a great thing to say and admit to, but she does. We all have that part of ourselves where it's like, well, yeah, like you said, Quinn, this person was horrible to her.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to get yours back a little.
Yeah. Quinn, what were you going
to
say?
I was thinking, I was going to backtrack, which I forgot to say it, but we were talking about when they asked Wendy who was in charge in the bedroom. And I was like, definitely not her husband. Wendy is in charge in that bedroom. I can tell by looking. I thought that was a huge lie for the cameras. But that's all I have to say about that. I forgot about it until we were like talking about Wendy. You can tell by the way he talks to her that he doesn't take control with her.
She pegs him with her diplomas.
A lot has been said today, but that was...
That's the episode title. So that's actually a perfect way to wrap the show up. Does anyone have any final thought?
No.
I know. I no longer hate Wendy. I still hate Candace for new reasons. Candace is like watching your favorite football team lose. Like, she finds a new way every time to disappoint you. But yeah, I like Wendy a lot better. I think she looked great the entire trip, style wise.
Candace didn't win you over with her music video at the pool or whatever.
Her music video, circa 2004, this should be featuring, like, I don't know, Chingy or, I don't know, Ja Rule or something.
That's a name I haven't heard in a while.
Exactly. But much like Ashley said about LaDom, my mother will love it. So good luck to Candace. But yeah, that's my final thought. I don't hate Wendy anymore. Kind of like her.
I do have a final thought. It's not so much as a thought as a quote from Giselle after Karen mentioned that she had retired her mouth. Giselle used a term I had not heard before and will never forget. I, like you young Donnie, I'm changed forever from this moment. Giselle said, if she's not slobbing the knob, someone else is.
Yeah, she's right.
Wait, is that what she said on your episode?
Did you? She said it on ours too.
She said it on our slobbing.
Oh, I thought she said sucking dick. Okay.
And if anybody would know about that, Giselle would.
I mean, that was a lot for me to take in. And now that I've said it aloud, I mean, it's one thing to write it down for my notes, but now knowing those words have come out of my mouth, I'm ready for a cold shower. Thanks.
My final thought is more about the conversation with Ashley writing the defense of Monique / tearing down of Candace's character. What's funny to me is how Robin and Giselle like can't understand why Ashley would do this. It's not really like arithmetic. Like, it's not something hard to figure out. Ashley doesn't like Candace and likes Monique. Like, you don't have to be Einstein to figure it out. It's the same reason that Giselle and Robin are like doing all of these things to ice out Monique. They don't like her. You know what I mean? Like, it's
it's
really simple. So to kind of like hold Ashley's feet to the fire about something that's as simple as like schoolyard semantics is like LOL to me.
Yep.
And my final thought is, this one's simple compared to everyone else's, but this is one of my favorite cast trips in a long time. I think that so many other trips, they let the like drama and tension get in the way of having fun. And it's always kind of like brewing there, where this one, we got like those fun moments, the prank and the sex party and all that, and then we also get good drama. It's what a cast trip should be for me.
Yeah,
I agree with that too.
Great, because if you didn't, I would have edited it out. So Kirsty, thank you so much for coming. This episode is great.
Thank you for having me. I mean, it's been so much fun. It's always fun talking to you guys. I wasn't such a sweaty mess this time, although what you don't know is that halfway through I did have to tuck my shirt up, so it's folded halfway up into my bra right now. My abdomen is exposed, so I have more breathing space.
Scandalous.
But other than that, I'm doing well. My makeup is running down my face this time.
Next episode that we do together, just wear a breast pump.
All right, thank you.
Where can everybody find you?
Oh, so Reality TV and Me is the name of the pod. You can search that in all of your regular podcast apps, or I'm hosted by Taste of Reality. So just tasteofreality.com and you'll find me and a few other Reality TV podcasts on there as well. On Instagram at Reality TV and Me, that's probably the best place to find me, or in the Facebook group. It's really fun in there because there's lots of other people just like me, trash humans talking shit about these shit shows.
Perfect. Thank you. Well, everyone knows a double thumbs up means fuck you. Know that. Thank you for... Thank you for listening. Be sure to follow Know That, A Real Housewives podcast on Instagram and Twitter at Know That Pod. You can also follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Real Donnywood.
You can follow me, Anthony, at Anthony F. Casella on Instagram.
You can follow me at Quentin Lamar on Twitter.
Continue to listen and subscribe for free to Know That, A Real Housewives podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your show.